ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण हरे कृष्ण। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड एक्टिविटीज ऑफ किंग भरत। टेक्स्ट नंबर 13 इस प्रोज, सो वी जस्ट रीड एंड रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। करदार कपीश कुटिल जाट कलापेन वा विरोचमान सूर्यचार भगवंतम हिरण्यमयं पुरुषम उज्जियहाने सूर्यमंडले अभ्युपतिष्ठन एतद्यु हो होवाच। ट्रांसलेशन परपर्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिदान स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। महाराज भरत appeared very beautiful. He had a wealth of curly hair on his head, which was wet from bathing 3 times daily. He dressed in a deer skin. He worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. Purport: the predominating deity within the sun is Hiranyamaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvah Swaha Tasya Vitura Varenam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. He is also worshipped by other hymns mentioned in the Rig Veda. For instance, Deha Sada Savitur Mandale Madhyavar Varti. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated and he has a golden hue. So we are reading in this verse and purport about how King Bharat is worshipping the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is situated within the sun. The purport explains, the verse explains, that Maharaj Bharat appeared very beautiful because he has a wealth of curly hairs on his head, which were wet from bathing 3 times a day, and he dressed in deer skin. He worshipped Lord, and then in the purport about Lord Narayan, Srila Prabhupada explains that Bharat Maharaj was worshipping Lord Narayan situated within the sun god, or within the sun, not sun god, within the sun. And that Lord is called Hiranyamaya, who has got a golden hue and is also effulgent. So we understand here that just like sometimes Brahmaji is a soul, but if there is no suitable soul to take the position of Brahmaji, then the Supreme Lord himself appears or takes incarnation as Brahmaji. Similarly, the position of the sun god is very important. And if sometimes there is no suitable soul to take the position of sun god, then the Supreme Lord expands himself. And therefore, we have heard this term called Surya Narayan. Even if there is soul, that soul has to be empowered. Just like we see, even if there is Jivatma, still Brahmaji is counted among the incarnations of Gunavataras, yeah, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Gunavataras of Supreme Lord, even though it may be soul, because he is empowered. Similarly, sun god is also empowered, especially by Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives an example to prove how the Supreme Lord is apapa vidham. In Sri Ishopanishad is there. That he cannot be touched by any sinful activity or reaction. In fact, he can purify all other sins. It is said once, His Holiness Jayadeva Maharaj was asked one question, that it is karmically reacting if we perform activities in this world. And then the question was asked, even Supreme Lord, he also appears to manage a kingdom and have some children, and then why he is not reacted? And he immediately answered, from the verse from Bhagavad Gita, a very simple and straightforward answer given by Lord himself. namam karmani limpanti name karma phales purva, that no karmic reactions can limpanti means like bind me or touch me. Namam karmani limpanti, this limpanti word is very appropriate because the karmic reactions doesn't just touch us but they stick to us. The exact meaning of limpanti, the word limpanti, the verb, in like sometimes we put a mud on the wall, or in the villages they put the cow dung and the mud on the ground on the wall, that is called limpanti, that sticks to the wall, even if you remove something will remain, so that is limpanti. So karmic reactions, they just stick to us, they are attached to us, we can't get separated from this. Therefore Krishna is telling namam karmani limpanti, the karmic reactions doesn't stick to me, they don't influence me. Krishna is also using the perfect verb name karma phales purva, and he is saying that not even a reaction, I don't desire any fruits from my actions, name karma phales purva. But this is very good and important to know, that Lord cannot be anytime influenced. But what more, actually these are beautiful and important qualities of Lord, that he cannot be influenced, namam karmani limpanti name karma phales purva. But second line is more important, iti mam yo bhi janati karma bhir na sabadyate, that simply if one knows this fact, simply if one knows that the Supreme Lord cannot be influenced by karma and he doesn't desire any fruits of his karma, he can also become free from karmic reaction. So that is Lord potency. Iti mam yo bhi abhijanati, simply if we know Krishna is transcendental, we also become free from the reaction. So Srila Prabhupada says that is Supreme Lord. If we just know, or it is also said, Srila Prabhupada quotes this 7th chapter, text number 14, very important one, that Daivi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya, but mam eva prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Sometimes mayavadis or some so-called spiritualists who are on the wrong, misguided path, they tell us that when Krishna comes to this material world, he has a material body, his body is under the three modes of nature, is just like you and me, and then because he is formless, and when he takes the form, what Lord Shri Krishna is telling very clearly here, that just by taking shelter of me, one can become free from three modes. So Shri Prabhupada explains, if we take, just by taking shelter of Krishna, or just by knowing Krishna is beyond three modes, if one can go beyond three modes, then how can Krishna himself be under the control of three modes? Just because it's very easy, just by taking shelter of Lord Shri Krishna, we go beyond three modes. Iti mam yo bhi janati karma bhir na sabadyate. Or what is the seventh? Devi esha gunami mam eva prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Mayam etam tarantite. Just by taking shelter of Krishna, we cross over maya. So how can Krishna be under maya? Just by knowing that Krishna is not under maya, we also cross over maya. Just by knowing that Krishna is not influenced by three modes, if we only know this fully and properly, we also cross over three modes of nature. So if that is the potency of Supreme Lord, then how can he be anytime influenced by three modes of nature or material maya? And therefore, he is many times compared to sun. And Srila Prabhupada gives this example of sun, that even sun, it can purify the dirty things of this material world like stool and urine. It can purify the stool and urine, but still the sun never gets contaminated. So Srila Prabhupada says, even a material object, sun, if he has this potency to purify impure things and still not get contaminated. For those who are worshipping deities, they know, if we touch some contaminating things, then either we have to wash our hands and perform achaman, or take a bath if some contaminating items if we touch. Now, so many rules and regulations are there. But the sun, it can purify the dirty things and still not be influenced by those things. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example, if sun can do, which is a material object, why can't the Supreme Lord not do? So you should understand this sun, Surya Narayan, is a very empowered either sometimes the Supreme God himself is the Sun God, or sometimes just like Brahmaji, he may be soul, but he is still empowered especially by Supreme Lord. And we can see what an empowerment that is. If the material scientists, they study the sun in a fraction of a second gives out so much energy. The total energy which has been used by human society up till now since its existence, more than that energy is given out by sun in 1 second. What an energy in all the factories and railways and industries and ships and aeroplanes and so many things. We think we have got gigantic industrial enterprises, huge shipyards and aerodromes and automobiles. Just think how many automobiles are running all over earth at any given moment, and how many liters of fuels they are burning at any given moment. The whole of energy utilized by human society since its beginning, whatever, according to modern science, for past 10,000 or 20,000 years, more than that energy is given out by sun in any 1 second. The sun is so powerful. And every 1 second it is giving more energy than water has been utilized by the human society since its beginning. Therefore, that is the power of sun. And therefore, Supreme Lord has to especially empower him. Therefore, here we see also sun god is compared. Sun is the sign of purity. It cannot be influenced by any dirty thing. Anything if we want to purify, we put it in the sun. The Vedic system was to put in the sun and the dirty things get purified. So similarly, this in 11th canto, 6th chapter, there is a glorification of Supreme Lord. And that glorification is telling us that how the Lord is beyond three modes of nature. And it is very beautifully put. The translation of this verse 11:6-8 goes, a part of translation. You appear to be situated in the interaction of modes of nature. So the translation is telling, the verse is telling that, O Lord, it is addressing the Lord. O Lord, you appear to be situated within three modes of nature. However, you are never affected by material activities. But the real fact is, you are never affected by material activities. So the Lord performs activities in such a way that it appears that Lord is being influenced by three modes of nature. He is sometimes influenced by the curse of somebody else. Sometimes he cries for his parents. Even grown up Lord Krishna cries for his parents when Shalu were killed his illusory mother and father in the war. So he was crying. For a moment he got depressed. Then he understood that was illusory mother and father. So in this way, Lord Krishna, sometimes he acts as a henpecked husband. So many ways it appears that when Narad Muni went to Dwarka, Narad Muni saw the Lord playing with his children in one palace, Lord playing chess with one of his queens in another palace, Lord marrying off his daughters to somebody else in another palace, Lord marrying his sons and accepting the daughter-in-laws in some another palace, Lord training the horses in another palace. So all these activities were performed by Lord Shri Krishna. And it appears that his activities are like training the horse or things like that. He also went to Sandipini Muni's ashram, Gurukul. He shaved his head like a brahmachari. So in this way, it appears that Lord is also being controlled by the three modes of nature. But the real fact is, Lord is never controlled by three modes of nature. And this point is explained in more detail here. Let me just find out. Yeah. That how the Lord is never controlled by three modes of nature. And why this is true. It is explained, the Lord, no one can find fault or discrepancy in the body, character, activities or instruction of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is beyond three modes, therefore no one can find any discrepancy or faults in body, character, activities or instructions of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is never materially ignorant. So the Lord is never under the mode of ignorance. And what are the qualities? Therefore, the Lord never exhibits Because he is not influenced by ignorance, Lord never exhibits cruelty, laziness, foolishness, blindness, or material intoxication. We see in this material, in this activity of any incarnation of Supreme Lord, Lord never exhibited any cruelty. He never got angry or laziness. Lord was never lazy to perform his activities. Lord would very religiously take all the cows and calves to the pasturing ground every day. Not that some days he failed, or some days he slept late in the morning, or things like that. He would every day very meticulously get up, or Mother Yashoda would raise him up, dress him, and the Lord would go. And there is one pastime, and when the first day Lord was going, Krishna was going to pasturing ground, Mother Yashoda offered him shoes. And in the forest there are many thorns and pebbles, so you should wear shoes. But Lord Shri Krishna says, no, one pair of shoes is not enough. You have to give me millions of shoes. Because Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows, 9 lakh. And each cow has 4 legs, not 2. So 9 lakh into 4. So Mother Yashoda had to provide 36 lakh shoes, which she also found, in her pastime, difficult. So Lord Krishna said, if all my cows don't have shoes, I will not wear. So in this way, Lord also performed his duties very meticulously and without laziness or any discrepancy. Also, he never exhibited cruelty. In fact, about this, there is one pastime in Ramayana. It's a very good connection that Lord Ram is also from the family of Sun God, Raghu Vamsh. The Lord sometimes appears. There are two dynasties in Kshatriya, Sun God and Moon God. One dynasty is from Sun God, Raghu Vamsh, and another dynasty is Soma Vamsh. So Lord Krishna appeared in Soma Vamsh, and Lord Ram appeared in Surya dynasty, Raghu Vamsh. So in this way, Raghu Vamsh means, but his dynasty was from Sun God, Surya dynasty. So once Lord Ram was going in the forest, and he was going with his brother Lakshman and his dear wife Sita. And we can see in this material world, it's very easy to listen to our those who are not very close to us, somebody who is at a distance. It's very easy to become submissive, but it's very difficult to become submissive to those who are very close to us, or very close God brothers, or our family members, mother, father, husband, wife, children. We can become submissive to everyone, but except these few people who are very close to us. We can listen to everyone else, but those are very close. It becomes a little difficult to listen to them, because it is said that familiarity breeds contempt. So in this way, but it is a good pastime by Lord Ram, exemplary pastime. So he was moving in the forest, and in the forest he was killing some demons and animals to protect the sages and rishis. But at one point what happens, Mother Sita, she thinks, she does her role. Although apparently she is queen or wife, but she does her role of being a friend and being of help to her husband. She very humbly and gently one day, speaks to Lord Ram. And she says, "Oh Lord Ram, if you think appropriate, please consider my words and then you can act whatever way you want to." She says, "It appears to me that because you have taken this bow in your hand, you have got this bow and arrow in your hand, it appears that you are now slowly got influenced by this bow and arrow and acting in a cruel way. She wanted to point out that it appears to me that you are unnecessarily killing animals, which is a sign of cruelty when it is not required to kill animals." And Lord Ram immediately, very gratefully, not that he got angry, "Oh, you to instruct me, you are my junior, or you are my wife." Sometimes it appears, it's very difficult to take some advice or some words of intelligence from so-called, because it's only on the term of years, or like date of birth, or date of joining the temple, or date of getting initiation. Junior devotees, or our family members, it's a bit difficult to take instruction from them. But Lord Ram, very exemplarily, he immediately, very gratefully, accepted Mother Sita's advice and thanked her. So he, because she prevented Lord Ram from becoming cruel, which is a symptom of mode of ignorance. So here it is told, Lord never exhibits cruelty. He never exhibits laziness or foolishness or blindness. Foolishness or blindness is also a symptom of material ignorance, just lack of knowledge. Then, similarly, the Lord is never polluted by passion, because he never exhibits pride, lamentation, yearning, or violence. These are the symptoms of those who are under mode of passion, pride, then lamentation, then yearning, or violence. The opposite qualities of these are like tolerance and so we see a very good example from the pastime of Lord Ram again, because we should speak, because he's from Raghu Vamsh and the purport talks of the sun god. So in this way, Lord Ram exhibited a very nice quality called tolerance to the highest degree. We all know that Lord Ram was the eldest brother amongst the four, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. And at one point of time, Dashrath Maharaj decided that I should now slowly start handing over the charge of the kingdom to my sons, especially led by Lord Ram. And the whole society of Ayodhya, 100% voting, and 100% goes to only one party. This is real democracy. Now that only one, Lord Ram was so famous, so spotless in character, so ideal, so caring for all the citizens, like a parent care for their children, that everyone wanted Lord Ram to become the next king. So every citizen was happy. Everyone was happy, and Lord Ram decided that tomorrow I will install Dashrath Maharaj decided that tomorrow I will install Lord Ram as heir apparent, a prince, the next king. And all the arrangements were made for that. Everyone was happy. Lord Ram was in a pleasant mood. Mother Sita, everyone was very blissful in the whole Ayodhya Nagari. And suddenly Lord Ram was also happy. But then we know this untoward incident that took place. Certainly it's not untoward in one sense, because Lord's desire, but we can express in that way. And Mother Kaikeyi, she was influenced by Manthara, her maid servant, and she went into this sulking chamber. Dashrath Maharaj wanted to be with her close queen at this moment of great joy and happiness. And therefore, Maharaj Dashrath went to Kaikeyi's palace, but she was not to be found in her normal rooms. And Dashrath was informed that she is in the sulking chamber, where she is angry and not in a happy mood. And seeing this, Dashrath was immediately taken aback, but he went to meet her. And then Mother Kaikeyi asked for two boons. The first boon was, banish Lord Ram to forest for 14 years. And second was, install my son Bharat as the heir apparent or king of Ayodhya Nagari, Ayodhya kingdom. So these boons were like a thunderbolts even to Dashrath Maharaj. He himself could not accept these boons, and therefore he did not order Lord Ram to come, and he did not order Lord Ram to go to forest also. But then Mother Kaikeyi was, Queen Kaikeyi was very enthusiastic under the influence of Manthara, and she ordered, she sent Sumantra, the prime minister or minister of Dashrath Maharaj or Lord Ram or both of them, to go and get Lord Ram and tell that Maharaj Dashrath is calling for them. And then Sumantra went. Lord Ram was very happy. He was coming in the chariot. Hundreds and thousands of people were following with, along with his entourage, because he was going to be king. Everything was in a celebration mood. There were nice arches decorated with nice mango leaves, pots filled with Ganges water, and everything. All the roads were sprinkled. That was a real opulence. The elephants would move around in the city, and they would throw scented water, sprinkle scented water all over the cities. So in that way, the whole city would become fragrant. So in this way, the whole Ram was going on the chariot to Kaikeyi's palace to meet Dashrath Maharaj. And Lord Ram was thinking that actually it was very famous that Kaikeyi loves Lord Ram even more than his own mother Kausalya. So he was thinking, yes, it's very good. My mother Kaikeyi and father Dashrath Maharaj is calling me at this very important auspicious time. So he entered very cheerfully. But as soon as he entered, he saw that Dasharatha Maharaj was in a depressed state or not in a happy state. So he asked, and Mother Kaikeyi informed Lord Ram that your father desires that you go to forest for 14 years and let Bharat become a king instead of your place. So hearing this news, Lord Ram was not moved even a little bit in his mind. He was equally cheerful before and after hearing the news. He came with a smile and happy mood, and not when he heard the news, oh, what is this? No, I am not like, we see today's day politicians, during that counting round, every round they are eager to know what's happening, how many votes I am getting, who is leading up and down, by 5 votes somebody is leading, or somebody is leading by 200 votes. But Lord Ram, he was informed that no, there is no chance for you to become king or prince, and not only that, but you have to go to a forest. So he was not at all moved or taken aback or felt sorry, but he remained equally in a cheerful mood. And not only that, our acharyas explain that he in fact told that now I understand, which I heard, which has been now proven today, that Mother Kaikeyi is most loving to me. So after hearing this, he is telling that now I understand and now it is proved that Mother Kaikeyi is most loving towards me, because she knows that becoming a king, ruling a kingdom, taking care of citizens, hearing their complaints, or what is managing the whole kingdom, is burdensome. And therefore, she wanted to prevent me or protect me from taking such a burden. So therefore, she is telling that I should not become the next king. And not only that, Mother Kaikeyi also takes care of me very nicely. He is not just speaking sarcastically. A material man can speak such words in a sarcasm. But Lord Ram spoke, he meant these words. He spoke these words and he meant it. He said, not only that she wants to protect me from all this burden of ruling a kingdom, but also she knows that we all 4 brothers are newly wed, we have got married. And so she very wonderfully is arranging for us to go to picnic in the forest. Have a nice time. Sometimes people they want to go. Now this summer season is very famous. People go to different places, some places like Khandala or Mahabaleshwar or things like that. So they go to various places where there are natural things. So Lord Ram is telling that his Mother Kaikeyi is very loving to me. She is arranging for a nice picnic for myself and Mother Sita to go and have a nice time, free from the burden of ruling this kingdom and in managing the whole society and the citizens and defense and things like that. So in this way, Lord Ram, he never showed any pride or lamentation. Oh, my kingdom has gone. Now let me see who is taking over this. In fact, Dasharatha Maharaj told him like that. We see in modern age, in this recent history of India, one prince, he imprisoned his father and became the king. He killed all his brothers, imprisoned his father and became the king. Here, Dasharatha Maharaj is telling Lord Ram, you imprison me. You take over the army. You imprison me, don't follow my instructions and you become the king. Dasharatha Maharaj told like that. But Lord Ram did not accept the proposition. He said, no, your word should be kept. It is your words to give 2 promises to Kaikeyi, and Kaikeyi has asked for these words. That means these are your words, so they should be maintained. So actually we see Lord Ram was not at all lamenting. In spite, Dasharatha Maharaj was giving him this idea that come on Lord Ram, and you make me captive, put me in the prison, and you take charge of the army, and if anyone comes in between you becoming king, you defeat them. All the citizens are anyway supporting you. Now, there is no obstruction from the citizens. So you become king. But Lord Ram did not accept. He did not show a sign of lamenting or yearning for the kingdom. The moment he even heard, he immediately accepted it. And then, how to become, this can be applicable to our lives also. Like how to become free from mode of ignorance. We should be free from cruelty, laziness, foolishness, blindness, and material intoxication. To be free from passion, we should be free from pride, lamentation, yearning, and violence. And to be free from mode of goodness also. So how the Lord is free from mode of goodness? Because He never attempts to peacefully enjoy the material world with a sublime materialistic mentality. People in the mode of goodness, they attempt to enjoy the material world peacefully. Everything is peaceful. No one is disturbing anyone else. Everyone is non-violent. Everything is good. Everything is available in abundance. The things are running nicely. And they want to enjoy such a peaceful situation. So Lord Ram, He was not attached to that. He went to forest, although He said this is a good picnic. But He went and performed His nice duty. He killed all the demons. And then when all the demons were killed, when the forest was actually a good place to stay, free from all demons, He came back to Ayodhya. And took the charge of the so-called burden of the kingdom at the request of His brother. In fact, His brother gave Him the word that even if you come one day late, I will end my life. So He had to come. And even before coming, Lord Ram was not at all attached to becoming king. Just being on the outskirts of Ayodhya, when that plane was coming, Lord Ram sent Hanumanji ahead. He said, "Now you go and check that Bharat Maharaj is ruling the kingdom for 14 years. Maybe before 14 years He told me that you should come back and take this kingdom, and if you don't come, I will end my life." And Bharat Maharaj was performing high austerities. He was living outside the city. And He said, "Lord Ram will move on the ground." So He dug a hole, and pit. And He was living in the pit. And although He was the king, He was eating only barley soaked in cow urine. And that was His food every day. So in this way, He was performing great austerities. And Bharat Maharaj was staying like that. So Lord Ram, when coming back in the aeroplane, He sent Hanumanji ahead to check. Go and check. Even if Bharat has got a small tinge or attachment, even small, not full, he wants to continue ruling the kingdom. He is now attached to instructing the ministers and the army what to do, what not to do. If he is feeling a little bit also unhappiness on my return, I will not go back to Ayodhya. Hanumanji came ahead on the instruction of Lord Ram, and He checked Bharat Maharaj, and when He saw that Bharat Maharaj is not at all, in fact, He is very eagerly waiting for 14 years to be over and waiting for Lord Ram to come back, He informed Lord Ram that when then Lord Ram came. And although actually now He was going to have happy time in the forest, real picnic, because up till now He was just killing the demons. That was not actually picnic. Not that we go to picnic and then we have to fight every other day. But now actually He could have had a good time in the forest, but He came back to perform His duty as a king. So here we see that He is also free from the mode of goodness. He was free from any prejudice. In modern age, there is a lot of prejudice based on the body. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, male, female, Indian, American, European, Russian, African, or man, animal. There is a lot of prejudice. But Lord Ram was free. We know in a place nearby, or Bombay, on the Nashik road, when He was coming, His dear friend Jatayu fought against Ravan, and unfortunately He was wounded fatally in the fight. When Lord Ram personally came there, Lord Ram personally, He did the final rites of Jatayu. The final rites are generally done by the son. It's son's duty to perform the final rites of his parents, father and mother. So that is the great privilege of the son. It's like Lord Ram accepted the position of a son for his great devotee, Jatayu. He personally told Lakshman that set up a funeral pyre and let us give a respectable end to our dear friend Jatayu, who has given up her. He could have said, "Oh, this is a vulture. Let him lie here, his dead body. Anyway, what's the point? He's not even a human being." Then He made friends with monkeys. He respected a squirrel in the building of ocean. So what to speak of not having prejudice, he had a good friendship with Nishad Raj Guha. Nishad means like today's we can call Adivasi or some people who are in the forest, Nishad. In fact, this Nishad, according to Srimad Bhagavatam itself, is not a very high class. If you know, it was born from that churning of thigh of Prithu Maharaj. Who was the father of Ven? Vena. Yeah, Vena. Yeah, King Vena's, his body was churned. And because he was sinful, first the sages churned his thighs. And from the thighs came out Nishad. All the sins were there with him. When the body was purified, then they churned the body and the Supreme Lord appeared. So in this way, this Nishad itself is not a very high or purified cultured class. But still, the king among them, Guha, was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And then Lord Ram accepted his friendship without any prejudice. On the other hand, Ravan was a Brahman by birth. Ravan was a great Pandit. He was a scholar of all the Vedic scriptures and he was Brahman by birth. But still, he had to face Lord Ram's wrath and was personally killed by Lord Ram. So we see the Supreme Lord is bright and effulgent like sun, and also he is spotless. Or his character is without any spot like the sun, and it can purify everyone. In fact, in this Kali Yuga, the sun and moon have both arisen together. They said, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudadaya Pushpavanto Chitra Santo Tamo Anudo. That is just like sun and moon rising together. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared like sun and moon. We can never see this phenomenon in this material world. The sun and moon can never rise together. Because when they rise together is Amavasya. So we can't see the sun, moon. And when they one rise and one set, it's a Purnima. So we can see, but then one is setting and one is rising. People go to this Kanyakumari to see the sun set and moon rise or things like that. But they, we can never see both of them rising together, because that is Amavasya, and on that day the moon cannot be seen. But in this Kali Yuga, we can see that the great benedicting supreme personalities, they appear together like bright and effulgent sun and moon, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they are giving special light to the age of Kali. There is another sun in this age of Kali. Krishne Sodham Upagate Dharma Jnanadibhisa Kalau Nashta Dushamesha Puran Arko Adunodita. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam when Lord Shri Krishna disappeared from this earth and went away. And then this age was dark, age of darkness, Kali Yuga began. Krishna Swadhama Upagate, he went back to his abode along with Dharma Gnan. Lord Krishna went back with Dharma and Gnan. Dharma Gnana Adibhi Saha. Then what remained was dark age of Kali. To destroy that, Kalau Nashta Drushamesha. To destroy this dark age of Kali, a sun arose. That was Puran Arka. Arka means sun. Puran Arko Adunadita. It arose. That was Srimad Bhagavat Puran. The Srimad Bhagavat Puran is like a bright light, torch light giving sun for this dark age of Kali. And also there is a Supreme Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, it is one great advantage. Although this is dark age. Yes, everyone knows the advantage of Harinam Sankirtan. But Harinam Jap was equally effective in previous ages also. We know Dhruva Maharaj, he performed Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There are many incidences. Valmiki Muni, he chanted the names of Lord Ram, but he was given in the reverse way, but still he was chanting the names of Lord Ram and the effect was there. So in this way we see this chanting of holy names was there in all the ages. It was a way, although people were more attracted first Dhyan and then Yajna and then Archana because they were capable. It's just like if somebody can take a jump of 6 feet and then he has just told to take jumps of 1 feet. He may do it, but he will not only jump 1 feet, he will jump 2 feet, 4 feet because he is having that capacity. Although he can jump 1 feet, just he like it's just like we have the capacity, then it's very appealing and very enjoying to do such activities. Similarly, Satya Yuga, although there was no sinful activities, and because there are no sinful activities, there are no sinful reactions. There is no pain and misery in this world. There is no cumulative sinful reactions in the form of war, pestilence, earthquakes, tornadoes, cyclones, forest fires, or things like diseases, epidemics. We see in this Kali Yuga, it is full of all these things. There is a cumulative or collective sinful reactions coming on the whole world. In Satya Yuga, there was not a trace of sinful reactions. Therefore, there was no suffering. People were completely happy, joyful. It is described. Then in Satya Yuga, the earth was covered with grains. Today we see earth is covered with sand or soil particles. But in the Satya Yuga, the plants would give so much grains that the earth was covered with grains. Like that. If we don't disturb the nature, it appears like that. It can happen. And just to share with some of you, I personally had one experience, something similar to this. Once when we went to this one reserved forest near Radhanagari, one of our devotees stays there. We went there in the last summer season. And then we are moving in the forest. And then in the forest there are mango trees in one section. There are 20, 30 or 40 mango trees. And all of the mango trees were full with mangoes. Hundreds and thousands of them. And they are all ripe. And not only that, they are all just falling from the trees at the right time. And they are completely ripe. And actually, the ground, that whole area of patch of ground, more than this temple size, where all these trees were there, the ground was actually full with mangoes. And to eat the mangoes, we had to practically walk over mangoes and collect the best mango for us to eat. They're all best, but still best among them. So we can see some sample is available in Kali Yuga also. That ground was fully covered with mangoes, and then we had to actually walk over mangoes to eat the mangoes. So in this way, we see in Satya Yuga, there was no sinful reaction, no misery. So people would perform meditation, and some of them would chant holy names of God. And in Kali Yuga also we chant holy names of God. But in Kali Yuga there is lot of misery. Kalo dosha nidhe rajan. So the added advantage in Kali Yuga than in Satya Yuga is we can chant the holy names of God helplessly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the added advantage of age of Kali, which is also given in the 11th canto, that chanting of names is available in all the ages. But because there are sinful reactions a lot, therefore we see medical business is always booming. It's the business which is never going to fail. It's always booming. In Kali Yuga there is a lot of miseries. So we can take the advantage of the miseries. Like we know that one lecture was there, failure is a stepping stone to success, or something like that. So these miseries are a great disadvantage. But we can take that advantage of miseries is that we can call out to the Lord's holy name helplessly. So we can once again chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare! Hare Krishna! So it's quite some time, so we'll end here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.